This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
8 o'clock hour here on DFW Sports Station, the Hump Day Edition.
Hump Day.
Trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, Jake Rietma popping his head in, and we got Pepe in the back firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Why does nobody want to be the face of the NBA, or is anyone capable? Can it now be Luka Doncic? I guess according to Stephen A. Smith, it cannot be.
My personal opinion is I don't believe an international player can be the face of the NBA. I know they're global iconic figures. Their popularity extends globally. But the NBA is an American-born sport. And it needs to resonate in America. And if it doesn't resonate in America, then it's not going to matter to America how you resonate beyond. And so that's just my mentality, UD. That's how I think about it. Not to say they can't be popular or what have you, but I just think about it that way.
He got killed for this. He got ripped on social media and a couple other places where I saw the word xenophobic so many times yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't think I agree that it's, I think he's, I don't think that's what he's talking. I think he's talking more about how American basketball fans consume it. Like I don't know that it's so much about like, I refuse to let somebody have this. Like, I felt like what he was saying was more, it's just, this is an American sport. This is an American, like, I mean, it's become pretty global, but like at the end of the day, this is still, this sport's core is here in the United States, and United States consumers are going to naturally gravitate towards American born players.
Mm-hmm. It's the way it is. It's not xenophobic. It's not offensive. It's facts aren't offensive. Like this, it's a fact. Like it's the way it is.
It's like people have said before, like the star or the face of the league or whatever for hockey, general, like there are people who believe it can't be an American.
Ovechkin, it was never going to be Ovechkin. It was Sidney for a while. You know, I mean, now Canadian, you might be able to get a blurred line with Canada because the language, there's no language barrier unless you're, you know, Montreal. But like, Shohei's not the face of MLB. He's the face of baseball. The face of MLB is Aaron Judge. And there's a difference. The face of basketball can be an international player. The face of the NBA, I'm with Stephen A. I don't think it will be, ever.
Who is it?
Anthony. It'll be Anthony Edwards eventually.
It's still
or Shea.
It's not going to be Anthony Edwards.
Or Shea or somebody like that.
Because Shea's Canadian.
Again, we can blur lines.
It's a blurred line. It is. It's a
language barrier.
Anthony Edwards actually came out with what I thought was a pretty stunning soundbite and quote, and he said, "I don't want it."
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth. You can be that guy.
Well, I'm capable of being
there
that
you
guy,
go.
But I don't want to be that guy. Put it like that. I want to be the guy to just show up and hoop and just kill dudes and go home.
Wow. How many people feel that way and have ever said that, thought that way? I don't want to be the guy. Now, because a lot, you know, comes with that in terms of being the ambassador, or the player rep, or the union leader and all that stuff. But I was pretty stunned that someone like Anthony Edwards said, no, I just want to show up, hoop, and go home.
I mean, that's, I wonder if that's like a generational thing. You know, younger people are just like, they seem to have boundaries, the work-life boundary. I don't know. It's very odd. You don't usually see athletes say, I don't want to be the MVP. I don't want to be the best player in the sport.
So Tatum is not big enough. It's not going to be Jalen Brunson. Joel Embiid, I mean, I thought he was a candidate with his great personality, but it can't be him. His career, I think, is about to be over. If it was going to be the Joker, I think we would be saying that by now.
Yep.
I never thought Anthony Edwards, because Anthony Edwards does a lot of things off the floor. Now, he hasn't recently, but I thought that would disqualify him. SGA, do we know enough about his personality, and can he be playing in that market? Probably not, in my opinion.
The guy they wanted it to be was Ja Morant, I think. Before Ja got in all the trouble, I think they thought, perfect, like, kind of an underdog story, high-flying superstar, super fun, like, does all the things Russell Westbrook did, for instance, but isn't, like, kind of the, like is a more charismatic Russell.
If it was going to be Giannis, we'd already say that by now. It feels like that time has passed. Obviously, no Steph. It was Steph and LeBron. They're gone. It's not going to be Devin Booker. It's definitely not going to be Trae Young. It's not going to be anybody in Miami. Banchero doesn't feel like that. No one in Houston. Not Zion's big ass. Know what?
You know what you're about to say.
Wemby.
You think? More than Luka?
I think...
L.A. Luka. Reviving or... Like, we're set up for potentially another decade of Celtics-Lakers. I think Luka genuinely has a shot to be the guy.
You also got to look at, like, you know, who's
Wemby. Wemby would be my leading candidate.
That is who that's who Anthony Edwards said at All-Star Week. Was he said he thinks it's Wemby.
You also got to look at who's in college now, or who will be, because, you know, we still have a couple years before it's not LeBron. Right. Like, it would it be
what is Flag's personality at Duke? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a good question. Honestly, it's like he's a fun player to watch.
I think it can be Wemby. He seems very buttoned up. Joker making fun of him because he was reading, you know, books like A.J. Brown before the All-Star game. Can speak multiple languages. Baller. Humongous. Calm, cool, collected. He can be I don't know how flashy he is, but... Maybe he can be a consistent, solid Tim Duncan-esque face.
Yeah, I think you can be... You know, Stephen A., I think, is a little wrong in that, yeah, you can be from another country, an international player, but your ability to speak to the people has to be on point. Wemby can. You've got to really be able to speak the language of, you know, English, I think, in the U.S.,
Oh,
I think it's one of the disconnects.
He's a dual superstar.
Yeah.
Like Luka Doncic. Go ahead.
I think it's one of the disconnects with Shohei. It's like we don't know anything about him. We didn't know his dog's name. We never heard him really talk.
Yeah. I think Luka can. He doesn't want to speak enough to be that. Luka's awful in an interview. He's terrible.
You gotta be engaging. The face of the league has to speak for the league.
Because he is an engaging person. You can tell with the way he BS's with everyone. He seems like a social butterfly. It'd be so fun to go out and hang with. He does not want to be in front of a microphone.
Has any of the three major American sports that you can remember, have they ever had a quiet face of the league? Was Montana the face of the league in the 80s? Right. And was he considered a little more quiet?
I think he was. I don't remember day to day because I was... Too, but
what was I'm trying to remember, because I mean I was younger. You guys are so much older than me, you may remember. when Jordan retired the second time before LeBron got here and they had that 3 to 4 year window, was it Kobe was the face, or was retirement Jordan as the Jordan brand guy was still the face of the league in retirement?
Well,
they
wanted it to be Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted it to be Iverson, it seemed like.
Yep.
I just remembered a bunch of Kobe, like, Sprite commercials and everything. It felt like Kobe was everywhere. It was just big 10,000-watt smile and was... Yeah.
Like, you had it set up with Penny and Shaq. Then mm-hmm. they split.
I mean, the face of baseball over the years has kind of been...
Jeter?
Yeah, or yeah. A-Rod. Was Bonds ever the face of the game?
No, I think Jeter's the answer. Jeter felt like he was the face of baseball.
And yeah. then it was Trout for a little bit.
And Jeter's boring. Jeter was boring.
He's boring. Yep. But like
Steinbrenner didn't think he was boring. Wanted him out of the clubs and out of the Page Six.
but you know, like, yeah, you could be boring, but you're in New York. So that helped. Who was that?
Yeah, Brady.
Brady was the face of the league.
And now haircut Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, yep, it's
a personal trainer. Now he looks like a personal trainer.
So, I mean, yeah, I really think Luka's got a shot. Wemby makes a lot of sense. If Wemby keeps playing like he does, like if he keeps ascending, and we played the audio of him at All-Star Week, he's very thoughtful. He's just the one thing, and we talked about this article, I think, a year and a half ago or something. It was a while ago. But they, after Wemby had said, if I don't succeed, it's just basketball. What does it matter? And they were talking about the difference of like views from the European star versus the American star. It was an article in The Guardian where they said you had all these people like Jokic and Wembanyama and Giannis who were talking about there are bigger things than basketball. Meanwhile, it was the Kobe, Jordan, like aggressive attack dog American mindset.
Nico would trade Wemby right now.
Yeah, he would.
Undoubtedly. And so I do kind of wonder if that's just a mindset question as to why they wouldn't potentially embrace them as the face of the league is because they're too passive about their profession.
Stephen A. responding to Anthony Edwards saying, I don't want it to be me.
You can't want something more for somebody else than they want for themselves. And I totally get that. But that doesn't mean I'm not entitled to my wish list. And my wish is that Anthony Edwards changes his mind. And the reason why is because, I mean, my favorite players are him and Steph Curry. And where I fell in love with Anthony Edwards wasn't with the dunks or whatever. It was when the playoffs showed up last year and that brother was giving it to the Phoenix Suns. I mean, that to me was the nail in the coffin, UD, because he was talking major smack to his idol, Kevin Durant. And he was going after, and remember, I'm somebody that feels very, very highly about Devin Booker. I think Devin Booker is an absolute stud. I watched that brother get on the court against them brothers and just shrink them.
So he says he wants Ant Edwards to go ahead and change his mind. He's got the amazing personality for it. He may be a little bit too free speaking, too loose. Mm-hmm. And I love his personality as well, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, there's a little bit of rebellion there. And like, I mean, you just mentioned it. Passive in the sense of like, I don't want to be the face. And then there was the whole issue a couple of years ago where when he was coming out in the draft, people were like, can you take Anthony Edwards? The dude's talking about how he wished he could have played football instead of basketball. Does he even love basketball?
And we don't have to find a face tomorrow. Like when LeBron leaves, there might be a gap. It could be a 2-3 year gap like it was with Jordan.
Yep. Not with the way the NBA is trending right now.
Yeah, right.
Can they survive? By the way, you said we haven't had an issue with Anthony Edwards in a while. He did have court documents come out last week via Page Six that he did try to convince another girl he got pregnant to just
bail.
Yeah, bail on that.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see that the girl who had relations with 1,000 guys in one day turned up pregnant? Who'd have thought?
Man, if you're going to schedule on one day, why an ovulation period?
Exactly. Just use your calendar.
877-881-1053, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube here on DFW Sports Station. Are the Rangers going to be in on Vlad Guerrero Jr. next year? Someone thinks so. RJ has his answer in Rangers Diamond Cavs on the home of your favorite baseball team next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Arrhythmias that occur in the top part of the heart can be merely distracting or quite serious, such as atrial fibrillation in the atria, which carries a risk for stroke. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says the most concerning rhythm disorder occurs in the ventricle.
The bottom part has some arrhythmias. The most significant one is ventricular fibrillation, which is the cause of sudden cardiac death, which is the number one cause of death in this country. It almost outweighs all cancers combined. Unfortunately, that could be the first presentation of heart disease, is sudden death. A small percentage of patients who show up with their first heart attack have sudden death, an arrhythmia problem, and that's devastating.
Learn more at DeborahHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
Home of the Rangers, you're about to find out why with RJ Choppy. Home of the Cowboys, that's coming up at 8:40 and Below the Belt. And we want you to win the Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway in the 9 o'clock hour today and the rest of the week here on Sean and RJ. Thank you for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. And speaking of winning things, Pepe, talk about the contest that you've been reading every single day, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, so you look, you just have to turn on the Odyssey app and you listen for an hour. A lot of Tolo's already listened for the entire four-hour show. You just have to listen for 1 hour, and this is a free trip to Vegas, an Odyssey National Contest for you and three of your friends to go to Vegas to watch the college basketball championships. You get airfare, hotel, and you get $5,000 for each person to watch the game. Woo! As well. Man. And you'll be staying at the Circle Resort Casino as well. Oh. So there you go. There's the location. Good RJ, you've been
book.
There a lot.
Good sports book there. Very, very good.
So think about that package with the money, yeah. The flights. To watch as well.
That's fantastic. I mean, There is no place, if you have not been to Vegas for any of the NCAA tournament games, it is wild. I think the Sweet 16 weekend is the best weekend to go because it's not as crowded. Everybody wants to go for the first weekend. There's so many games. The Sweet 16 weekend, I think, is A, the easiest weekend to bet on. That's where you make your most money, but also it's less crowded.
So get an hour of listening in a day. Download the Odyssey app for your chance to go to Vegas. $5K per only from DFW Sports Station.
You can get like 3 cartons of eggs with that. Boy, that's been going.
I found an 18 pack for $5 the other day.
Really?
Yeah, at Sam's.
Don't give it away.
Somebody posted on.
They only let you buy like one.
Somebody posted on Twitter in Las Vegas. There was a 12 count, just a dozen eggs. It was $12.99.
See, one of the few benefits of doing this time slot, I don't see how you guys are eating so many eggs throughout the week. I don't go home and eat breakfast. I go home and eat lunch. And I certainly don't wake up and eat any breakfast. Our egg consumption is only on the weekend, so I've been able to dodge this price gouge.
We eat a lot on the weekends. I don't usually eat much during the week. She will. She might eat some during the week, but on the weekends, we go ham and eggs.
Here's the thing. We're an ingredients household. We don't just have pre-made stuff. Kristen has ingredients everywhere. And so, like, everything has to be made. So the only thing I can make is scrambled eggs. So
excellent eggs.
If I go home at noon and Kristen's not there, it's like, well, I guess I'm having scrambled eggs for lunch so I don't just go buy fast food or something.
Well, why don't you just have your leftover dinner?
Kristen would ask me that same question. I don't know. I forget.
Is there leftover dinner?
Oh, she's throwing away so many leftovers. She gets so angry about it because she's like, you forgot it was in there. I was like, sorry, I'm scatterbrained. I don't know what you want from me. I forget.
What do you mean you forget? You open the fridge and you look.
I have tunnel vision. I go in there to look for the eggs. I don't even notice what else is in the fridge.
What did you have for dinner last night?
What was it? I forget.
Mm. I swear.
Oh, salad. She made it. It was salad. Oh,
okay. Well, you can't have really leftover salad. I guess you could day, maybe.
There's still some like lettuce that she's had.
What was in your salad and what dressing?
It's this. It's like this avocado based Caesar dressing.
Okay.
With no little fishies in it or whatever.
Anchovies.
And so it was lettuce, cucumbers, grilled chicken, and Parmesan.
Very nice. Okay. And Pepe, how do y'all deal with leftovers? You meal prep?
Yeah, I mean, we throw it in there. It's for a couple days. And then I usually, after a couple days, I'm done with the leftovers. If I don't want after the next day or two, then I'm done with it. But we don't usually have leftovers. I'll clean up every leftover we have right after she's done with whatever she eats.
Well, 4 chicken nuggets goes fast.
Yeah, right, you know? It does. Good time.
All right, Chop. Jared Sandler is in Surprise. The KMC Masterpiece and the G-Bag Nation are heading out there this weekend while we go to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Give us some Diamond Cavs.
Are the Rangers going to be in on Vlad Jr. next year? He has informed the Blue Jays that their numbers and my numbers are a little bit different.
Mm.
And that's almost exactly what he said. So they did not reach an agreement on a contract extension before he gave his deadline. He had a deadline for this week, for Monday night. So he did not, and the Blue Jays did not come to an agreement. He had a resurgent year last year. He had 323, 30 bombs, 940 OPS. His value shot up. So he's going to be the big ticket item when he does become a free agent. And are the Rangers going to be in on him? And most people say, yes, they are. Mm. That they are going to be one of the 6 or 7 teams that have a fit. Here's the sporting news. They say the fit between the Guerrero and the Rangers is strong. They've got a commitment to winning. Jake Berger can be moved to DH to accommodate him. His father spent a season with the organization. Would they and can they spend what it would take to get him? Their payroll will still have $124 million next year tied up between 4 players in 2026 alone. So they still have a payroll right now north of $200 million. They're not in the luxury tax. They're about $17 million away from that competitive balance tax. So they got some wiggle room there. But it would have to be, it would put them onto the luxury tax if they were to get him, most likely. Because if they get him, he's going to get $35 million. Now that would be $160 million tied up in 5 people.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're the Dodgers, you could just pay him like $6 to play for the whole year and just say, like, we'll pay it to you in 10 years or whatever. All the deferred payments are coming up now. But
I have Luka trauma. as we talked about Ja Morant maybe getting dealt this offseason, 25. And I'm sitting here looking at Vlad Jr., the age of 25. Even that is giving me trauma.
It was me too. You know why? Because I was just thinking about like how Vlad Jr.'s had the criticism before of the weight. And he's kind of yo-yo. That's what I was sitting here thinking. I was like, Nico would not have kept Vlad Jr.
How do you feel about him with those questions? Or do you only worry about those questions in four more years, RJ? What have you thought about Vlad Jr. yourself?
He's been inconsistent. I mean, he's been really good, but also he's had like inconsistent years. Like this year, he was tremendous. The start of his career was amazing. Then he had like an 18-month kind of dip. He's still a very good player. And the thing is, you know, if he's playing first base, you know, you don't need him to necessarily be, you know, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout out there looking, you know, Barry Bonds, just like these absolute behemoths and super shredsy guys, right? You don't need that.
Well, Vegas does not agree that the Rangers are necessarily in play. Sports Betting Ag sent me the numbers. The favorites for his next team, the Boston Red Sox. Followed by Atlanta, the Armpit, Filthy, the Cubs, Dodgers, Yankees, Padres, Giants, Mets, Mariners, and then your Texas Rangers at 18-1 for Vlad Jr.
Yeah, it's that's interesting that they have Boston up top. I guess it's not the wrong thing to have, but I'll look at a lot of these publications. They don't have the Red Sox are one of the teams in on him for sure. They're a contender. But let's see, they're fourth from CBS. Arizona's third, Yankees second. Toronto is still the favorite, according to them. It'd be interesting to see where he winds up going and what the contract is. But speaking of, you know, first baseman, where is he on the top 10? They're releasing these top 10. Buster only's released the top 10 first baseman. And I always see, are the Rangers on any of these? They were not on the catchers, nor were they on the honorable mention. And they are not on the first baseman list either. Although, former Ranger first baseman Nathaniel Lowe
In your face, Pete.
Is on the honorable mention. So 10, 11, 12, so he's 14th. His year-to-year on base the past 4 years before being traded were almost identical numbers year-to-year. 357, 358, 360, 361. It's pretty consistent. Like he gets on base at a really good clip. That's 350 on base is an all-star level on base percentage. So they are going to be missing Nathaniel Lowe, but they're going to piece it together.
Yeah, I mean, are they just...
doesn't make me have FOMO.
No. I mean, no. Like, I think everybody had kind of gotten to the point where they're like, we could let go of Lowe. Like, it felt like last year there were three guys that was like, I'm fine if you part with it. And that got to be Lowe, Tavares, and Adolis. Like, I mean, there's still a lot of fan favorites of the Adolis who don't want him to go.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people, I think, who look at it and go like, he's just declining, and there's no bounce back coming.
Now, Nate... is a trend around the sport. Nate bats left, throws right. Okay. I went and saw this. This was in this article. Since 2001, the amount of games played by left-handed first baseman is cut in half.
Left-handed fielding first
baseman? Left-handed fielding first baseman. So left-handed throwing, I should say. Right. So you bat right, throw left, whatever it is, but you throw left. You're left-handed throwing first baseman. In 2001, you had almost 2,000 games played by a left-handed throwing first baseman. This year, you had just over 1,000. Last year, or a couple years ago, you had just under 1,000. So it's been cut almost in half for whatever reason. There's no strategy to it.
Yeah.
I just found it pretty interesting because you always, theoretically, if you have a lefty kid on your youth team, you throw him at first base.
Oh, that was the...
You throw him at first base or pitcher.
When Chris Davis was here and he was coming up, and like he obviously had his struggles and then got sent to Baltimore, but... when he was first coming up, I remember that was like a discussion point of like, well, he's a right-handed first baseman. Like he throws right-handed.
Yeah.
And so that was 15 years ago, a topic.
Well, speaking of years ago in hitting, I have to relay this. I saw this from Baseball History Nut. Choppy, this is for you.
Right.
Major league teams hitting at least 250. 2005, there were 30 of them.
Oh.
2010, there were 20 of them. 2018, there were 14 of them.
Seen a trend.
2020, there were 12 of them.
Oh, no.
2021, there were 5 of them. 5 teams hitting at least 250. In 2022, it went back up to 10. 2023, it went to 14. Last year, 6.
Ooh.
There were six teams. Is this a baseball version problem like the NBA is dealing with three-pointers wise?
It's the way baseball goes.
Yeah, it is, because they're both analytic-driven. NBA or basketball is analytic-driven from three-point shot, right? They want more threes, more dunks, less in between. Baseball analytics, you know, we have that Bill James abstract in there. I'll bet you can find in there somewhere where he says batting average doesn't matter. And he says it's all about slugging percentage. It's about on-base percentage, about OPS. They don't value it. They don't pay for it. Players generally do what gets paid. If it doesn't get paid, why would they try to do it? So, yeah, they value slugging percentage, on-base percentage, OPS, home runs. Batting average just isn't in play.
It does, yeah, it does feel a little bit like...
Which one do you think is more harmful for the entertainment value? Is it the threes, or is it the lack of base running, plays at bases, plays at the plate, stolen bases? Which one hurts your fan viewership the most? Your entertainment value? Man.
That's tough, because both have a lot of lack of action. Like, when you're just shooting threes, watch an NBA game, where's the ball movement? Where's the player movement? You're just standing around the three-point line. And in baseball, a lack of a batting average means fewer balls in play. Balls in play are action. So they're both an action-driven.
It's funny, because there was the whole chicks dig the long ball campaign with baseball back in the day, and three-point shooting became so, like, it was fun to watch three-point shooting teams back in the day. Whenever you would put up a bunch of threes, it was like, holy cow, this is a fun team to watch. And now both of those things have been done to such excess, it feels like, of just, well, all or nothing in baseball, and you're throwing up a bunch of threes, that now it's damaged. I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's a little more damaging for basketball right now. A little bit.
I would pick baseball because I need more to get me to baseball than basketball. You would probably pick basketball.
I think the baseball's problem is equal. Like, you need more action. Like, you know, Alex Bregman, and like, it's a perfect example. If you don't think Alex Bregman, if he wanted to, could be a 300 hitter, I think you're crazy. Like, he is not a high strikeout guy. He's a good contact hitter, but it's not valued. And he's even said, we don't care about batting average. Why would I care?
Diamond Cavs from RJ Choppy on the home of the Rangers. Jared Sandler's there. The rest of the station is heading to Surprise, Arizona for next week's spring training coverage here on 105.3 The Fan. Can the Cowboys' run game succeed with Dak Prescott's declining athleticism? Hear from their new offensive coordinator next in Below the Belt. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Does the Cowboys' new run scheme mean that Dak Prescott has a closing expiration date here in Dallas?
Two stumbles there that you did. You got
it was a throat thing. Yeah. It got a little phlegm stuck in there. All right. So yesterday out at the Star, the assistant coaches, the new assistant coaching staff spoke with the media.
So put that aside for a second, all the recorded combos. Give me the initial impressions of mannerisms, their personalities, behind-the-scenes stuff.
So you only talked to, like, each person had to pick where they were talking, so I got in front of, like, five or six of them. I didn't get in front of everybody. I got the biggest impression I had personality-wise, or maybe trying to read somebody. I got the sense Matt Eberflus did not want to tell us anything. Like, just was...
I'm a little worried about maybe personality with Eberflus.
I think he's... He learned from Rod Marinelli. I think he's somebody who's going to try and instill some discipline, you know, crackheads a little bit from time to... Which is kind of what they need. But I was stunned at how just the... Like, it was like he had an internal stopwatch where I was, like, looking at cuts going through there. And I was like, 20-second answer, 20-second answer, 20... Like, I mean... it's almost just like he goes, I'm going to answer for this long and we're done. And I don't know if that's just because, again, they're so early in the process of figuring out what they're going to do with personnel and other things that he doesn't want to tip any hands. But, I mean, he was asked about players that were free agents. He said, guys, not really going to get into that today because, I mean, we're still early in the process. Don't want to comment on that. So
he was also a head coach living at a podium for the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, his defensive philosophy, quote, it's pretty simple. We take the ball away. That's what we do. We stop the run. We want to make, you know, you should time me. Ready? Go. It's pretty simple. We take the ball away. That's what we do. We stop the run. We want to make exciting plays for our football team. That's really what we do. Nice. That was... How long?
9 seconds.
That was 9 seconds to a question of what would you say your defensive philosophy is?
Yeah.
Just like that. Now, there was an awkward question yesterday. I didn't pull it.
Do you clock manage?
No, it was not that. Somebody did.
How do you defend Hail Marys?
No, none of that. Well, it did involve the Hail Mary player, though.
You capable of apologizing and admitting mistakes weeks later?
So Jalen Johnson, who that would have involved, Tyreek Stevenson, who the Hail Mary would have involved, probably some tension there with Eberflus and those guys.
The players walk out of the locker room.
Somebody asked him, they're like, you got the chance to coach Tyreek Stevenson and Jalen Johnson.
The chance.
How do these corners compare to those guys?
And
he finessed it. He did good because he just immediately jumped into it, did not even reference back to Chicago, just talked about Diggs and Bland and just they're great players. And
who was by far the nicest new addition?
Ken Dorsey. Oh my gosh. That is just a gentle human being, it felt like. But because we've seen him throw the stuff before. Yeah. I was expecting, we might get a little bit of anger. But what happens is you'll have people walk up in the middle of the availability, and a lot of times they'll apologize. They'll say, hey, sorry, just walked up. Don't know if you covered this already, but here's my question. And when that would get asked, he'd go, hey, no problem. No, it's okay. I don't mind answering again. Or when somebody would say, identify themselves, like if they were like John Machota from The Athletic, then as they're just trying to launch into their question, he goes, nice to meet you, John. He was very kind. Wow. And I thought that he was good. We're gonna have that audio later this week too that we'll be playing. But the offensive coordinator Clayton Adams spoke yesterday, and I feel like the coaching addition that people have been most excited about, at least in the social media world, the blogosphere, because he's somebody who is considered a run game savant. That he helped really bring some stability to the Cardinals' offensive line, and in helping to implement their run game plans, had just changed things up for them completely, and they had a lot of success with it. He's been on Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated's list of future head coaching candidates the last 2 years. So he's a really impressive guy who's climbed the ladder. And run game is where he's made his name. Now, he did it with Kyler Murray at quarterback. And Kyler Murray, of course, with read option capability and scrambling and different things like that, you can probably do more with the run game with a Kyler Murray than you can with somebody like Dak Prescott, who's
probably
you know what I'm saying?
You think?
Well, listen to him answer it. So he was asked about the idea of, does your run game require you to have a mobile quarterback?
I think that it certainly can help you when you have the ability, because if you are reading a run, essentially you're taking a digit off the board on defense. But I think if you were to look at what we did over the course of the past 2 years, probably 70% of it was under center stuff that was going to be handed off. I think anytime you have the ability back there to read with that guy, it's a bonus for you. In regards to how often you need to do it, I think that the necessity for that really shows up when you're looking at like really low tight red zone plays or a gotta have it game on the line type thing. And I think that most quarterbacks end up in that position at some point. If they're somewhat athletic, you got to be kind of picky and choosy about when you're doing it.
So
that was a good answer.
Yeah, and basically, like I said, he was really good about laying out some of his philosophy and the way he thinks about things. But I think what he's telling you there is like, look, we don't need him to be Lamar Jackson. What we do need him to do is we need him to pick up 3rd and 2 on a read option, which if you can just give me 2 to 3 yards with that athleticism, that's going to be enough.
Goal line.
And you get in tight red zone areas, or you get in big moment, like when Josh Allen can't get a quarterback sneak, like, do you want to be able to be in a read option look potentially there on those short yardage gains and have the athleticism to do
the back-breaking plays.
Yeah, exactly. And so I thought that was a really good answer and something that's encouraging for the perspective of where Dak's at in his career right now. This is cut 5 here.
By the way, do we all now feel like Jerry Jones in that? And Choppy, you'll probably be the hardest one to convince here. We do not want Dak Prescott to run given his injury history. Because in my opinion, if Dak Prescott gets hurt again this year with something significant, this whole thing is over. You have to move on, start the plans. This is the beginning of the end, or the end.
Okay, so last year, was he hurt on the scramble? Was that the time? Was that the play?
He initially hurt it on the scramble, and then on the throw,
it ripped off the
ball. He realized, oh, this is bad.
So Yeah, I mean, look, it's, you know, he got hurt, obviously, in 2020 on a scramble, right, where he broke his leg.
He got hurt with a strained calf, was a rollout. He was having to be mobile.
It
was
even Tom Brady has to roll out. You got to roll out.
I'm talking about how many rushes do you want? He was on pace.
I would use him only as a rusher inside the five, 2-point conversions, third and short, fourth and short.
All right. Well, then Clayton Adams. He was on pace for 26 carries last year. Before that, he had 55, 45, 48.
So,
and how would you change that by what I said? How would you tweak or not?
I would probably. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
And those are just designed. Like, you're going to have to scramble every now and then.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to roll out. You've got to be able to scramble. But I'm just pointing out that on the calf strain, he was moving. Like either way, it's him having to use his legs. He gets hurt there. The AC joint sprain he had at the end of the 2019 season, that came on a scramble where he got driven into the ground by Clay Matthews. So four of his five significant injuries, the only one that wasn't...
The thumb.
Well, the thumb, I guess, so four of the six. The thumb and then the lat. Yeah. The when he, like, right. In training camp. But he didn't miss any time from that. But when he got shut down in training camp, that was a throwing thing. Clayton Adams.
But then you get to the follow-up on that of, well, if you don't want him rolling out to throw, then he can't be your quarterback. You have to. And I underestimated how good he was and what it adds to the offense throwing on the move. Like, I think they have to incorporate a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. I think not that you eliminate the throwing on the run stuff, just that it shows, okay, if he's gotten hurt throwing on the run before and all these run plays, you need to minimize his running. Like, don't design run him nearly as often. So, yeah, I'm definitely at this stage of his career, and given what he's showing with his health, yeah, you probably want to limit some of his running. Clayton Adams, obviously a guy who came from being an offensive line coach, was asked about what traits he looks for in his offensive lineman.
The same thing that I want from every player on offense, and that is to create violence in the game, be aggressive, run, hit. I think that every decision that we make schematically needs to lean that direction. So if there's gray area, what is going to allow these guys to play more free and run and hit and be violent?
There's very little talk yesterday from many of the coaches about, a handful of them would reference it. Maybe they have like Connor Riley mentioned, yeah, offensive lineman, I do want the athleticism, I want length. They would mention traits, but almost all of them were focusing on play style. Like, I want this play style above anything else. I need this mentality, I need this mindset, I need this level of aggression.
I hope. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Well, we've heard a lot of, every coach says this type of stuff, run game, physicality. I think 2 years ago, Bobby, you brought up an edict that you thought they just wanted to draft nasty physical players. I won't believe it until I actually see it. And we are in the regular season and we say, yo, this is a tough, nasty bunch of SOBs because I haven't seen it. It's been missing for years.
You know, but also, like, don't teams generally take on the personality of their head coach?
Oh, I think Schottenheimer, to me, and it'll have to play
nasty.
Out.
I think Schottenheimer wants to make the game more physical naturally than McCarthy did. That's not any sort of credit. That's literally just a stylistic choice. I think Schottenheimer wants the game to be more physical.
Yeah, I mean, a West Coast style is not typically
it's finesse, it's timing, it's trying to get everything to come together. Last one from Clayton Adams before we play one more clip after that from Lunda Wells, the tight end coach. But we've seen this topic of Zach Martin didn't want to play tackle when he was asked to do that potentially in 2020. We've seen flipping guys around, making him play tackle, making him play guard. So he was asked, what is his philosophy on having offensive linemen playing multiple positions?
I think that in the NFL, you have to do that. I also think that if you are a starter at a spot and you're a premium player at a spot, you're probably not going to play a whole bunch of different other positions. That, you know, obviously there's a exception to every rule, but my general thought on it is, if you're not one of those starting five, you better be able to play as many spots as possible. And that's probably the plight of being a sixth or seventh guy in this league, is that you're not going to get super comfortable at one spot, but that's what's best for the team.
So his philosophy generally is, if you are in the starting five, if we have determined you are a starting player, that's your spot. You're like, we just really want you focusing on that. So
I like this guy initially.
Oh, no, and I think he's, you can tell like he's clearly very thoughtful and
to be upfront, my judgment, just like it was for Brian Schottenheimer opening up, since you know I'm trying to be a media selfish broadcast nerd here. If you give me a little bit more than generic coach speak, I'm a fan of you early on. So that's my standard, probably low, but I'm getting that from these guys so far.
Well, and he's clearly somebody who, we played the clip earlier when he was talking about the idea of, is this a stepping stone potentially? Even if he hasn't thought of it like that, I think it's clear this is a stepping stone. Eventually, Clayton Adams is somebody the NFL's already identified as, you might be on the track to be next, and this is part of that process.
All right, we'll play you one of the favorite clips that Cowboy fans loved yesterday from the big-time media session out at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. We'll do that at 9:20 after we hook you up with Dierks Bentley tickets. We maybe have a second Luka trade, and are the Mavs finally admitting that they messed up? Final hour, Hump Day edition, right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.